Well, thank you all for coming. It's a joy that, yeah, some of the faces I know and some I don't. And being, as Pastor Ralph said, being Father's Day, I know we're all probably busy, but I hope that there's a blessing today as we come that we can be still before the Lord and know that He is God. We'll commit the time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for this opportunity for your word to go forth. We do pray that, Lord, thy will might be done. Father, that we thank you for your gospel, and we pray that we might know joy in sharing it together this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If there was a scripture that you could turn to as we talk through my conversion, it would be from Romans 5, and we'll look at the verse 8 particularly. If you'd like to open to that and have that on hand, we'll look at some other scriptures as well that were important to me, but that was one of the particular scriptures that spoke to my heart as the Lord began to work in me. For those that don't know, I moved to Tasmania from South Australia, so I'm not a local. I've only been here for in a bit years, so I certainly don't qualify as a local, but yeah, so I was born in South Australia in a town called Victor Harbour, which is about 2 hours south of Adelaide. So my parents were Christian parents. My mum's family were believers. Dad was saved at uni, and he came from an unsaved family. So there was six of us. I had four brothers and one sister. So we had a busy household, and we were on a farm. So there was always plenty of things to do. We were taught the Bible from a young age, and we attended church. And I remember as a young boy having a strong sense of justice, particularly when I was teased by older siblings. And I certainly learned to compete with the older children because I'm in the middle pretty well. Got two younger ones and three older ones. So it was always very competitive in sport, and we all enjoyed that. And I guess if somebody was looking on from the outside at my life, they probably would have said I was a good person. It seems to be a common thing that people say today, that you're a good person. But is that what counts? And I ask that question because for those of us that are brought up in the Christian home, it is possible that we think outward conformity is enough. We might do all the right things on the outside that everyone observes, but the question is, where is our heart? And God says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And when we think about the heart, people have always ranked sin as this is worse than that sin, or this is I haven't done that, I haven't murdered or committed adultery, but... And the popular thought these days is that everything's equal, that there's no right or wrong. I can do whatever I want, and that's fine. But the question I would ask you today is, what does God say? He does say that we're all equal. In Romans 3:23, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it's written, "There is none righteous, no, not one," in Romans 3:10. So God sees in our heart, and we can fool others, maybe we can even fool ourselves. But the question comes back to our heart and the fact that the Lord sees. As I grew up, I was like, I'm guessing like most young boys, I didn't like getting caught out when I did wrong things. Tried to cover them up so that nobody would know. And I remember around the age of 9 that my father had some glass panes for a greenhouse, and sometimes boys like breaking things just for the sake of it, it seems, but they got broken, and I remember knowing that there was no way I could cover this up. And I remember Dad sharing this verse, Romans 5:8, a verse that stayed in my mind throughout my life, and even as I was preparing this, I enjoyed thinking on it, and I'll read it to you from verse 7. It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's no way that we can hide our sin or cover it up. We see that. And there's no way we can escape the judgment of God. In Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, the wages of sin, which just means that like your own wages when you work, but the result of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 5:8 tells us that it was while we were yet sinners Christ died for us. It's not that there was some good in us or that we'd done something to deserve it, but it was God commending or showing his love toward us in while we were yet sinners. And I think it's very important to understand that concept of understanding God's love. You might say, well, how do I know God's love? But Romans 5:8 is showing us that we can only know the love of God when we see ourselves as sinners. Because we see the words there, it's saying, while we were yet sinners, in the state of sin, Christ died for us. So if we don't see ourselves as sinners, we can't understand God's love. And the words, while we were yet sinners, tells us the state we were in when God showed his love toward us. We read earlier in Luke 7:47, it reads, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So if we don't think that we've really been forgiven much, or what we've done is not really that important, I don't think we can really understand the love of God if we think we're pretty good or we'll make it all right. But the good news of the gospel is that God didn't leave us in our sin, but provided his own son to die in our place. And we see in the preceding verse, Romans 5 and 7, that this is not a work of man, because it says that man would scarcely die for a righteous man. But God died for us while we were in sin. We may know the verse, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God had begun to work in my life whereby the things of God became important to me. And I didn't have a conversion that I can say happened on a particular day or a particular time. In fact, I remember over the course of the next 2 years, there was several times that I felt moved by the Lord and his work in me. The need, when I heard the preaching, that I needed to be righteous before God. That I remember speaking with the preacher and with my father, and I remember feeling the importance that I needed to be right before God. And the Lord, in the Bible, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And if we feel the Lord working in our lives, the scripture says today is the day. So it's not something that we need to put off, or that will be all right in next year or maybe tomorrow, because we don't know the future. And I remember afterwards struggling with the fact over some years that I couldn't say the exact day or time of my salvation, as some people can, and the Lord works in different ways. But I wondered at the time, when I felt the need to call on the Lord in two different occasions, why was that? And I ask this because for some of us that are raised in Christian homes, there may not be a dramatic day and time that we can point to. As I grew older in the understanding of the Word of God, I realised the preaching of the gospel should move our hearts. And I would ask you, my friends, today, has your heart been moved by the preaching of the cross, where the Saviour suffered and died for you, taking your sin upon himself and bearing the wrath of God for you? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so I ask the question again, is the preaching of the cross foolishness to you? Because this is a good indication of where our heart is with the Lord. And these things of the Lord, as in 1 Corinthians again, it says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So as I continued in my walk with the Lord, we could ask the question, is that the end of the story for the Christian? Once he's saved, is that it? Is life easy and things work together? And no, it's the beginning of a new life. In Galatians 2:20 it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh," so we're all still living the same life in our bodies, "I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And thinking again of the scripture, Romans 5:8, that we've been sharing, as we grow in our Christian life, we see more of our sin, and as we confess it and find forgiveness, so our love increases for Christ who died for us. If you ask the older believers here today, they will tell you that the older they get, the more they are aware of their sin as they grow to know God more. And I can look back on past years and acknowledge the Lord's keeping hand upon me. It's not that he saves us and then leaves us to ourselves. He continues to work in us. In Philippians 1:6 it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." So we're not on our own, and this is a promise that the Lord who begins a work in our lives will continue it. As a homeschool child, I remember I was kept by God when I went to a public school for year 11 and 12. I remember it was a very awkward place where I didn't understand the culture of the world and the words they said and what they did. But I always remember my mum praying with me each day when she dropped me off at school, and I can testify to God's keeping power, keeping me from evil in that place. I know the Lord's keeping on me as I started my own business and had purchased some machinery at a young age, and the Lord provided work and the business had grown. But as I grew with the business and I became quite busy, I was also aware of the question of Matthew 6:19-21, and it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And these verses, I thought, are they applicable to us as believers? Often these are hard questions, but do we believe them and act on them? And it was at this time we had also been struggling to find a place of worship in South Australia. We'd been through several different churches that ended. And at that time I came over to this church with my brother Matthew, and I remember it was a time of great blessing in spending time in God's word and also among his people. And I remember the welcoming hospitality of God's people and the encouragement they were to me in the Lord. And I encourage all of you that our love and care and welcoming of others is an important ministry. And these were important in God's leading of me to move to Tasmania. I remember thinking what a blessing it was to come and hear God's word faithfully preached by our brother, Pastor Ralph, and I wanted to be here to support that, looking to the Lord to bless, even in the saving of souls. And I think back on that time, if I continued in work, and I can testify that the Lord has helped in growing my spiritual life with the blessing of being here and hearing his word and the encouragement of others. It's a blessing and it's important. As Christians, we can't live this Christian life on our own and think that we're going to grow by ourselves. So my wife Naomi and I felt it was important to have a place where our children can hear the preaching of the Word of God and join with us in the worship of him. And I guess that the question I ask is, has it been easy following the Lord? Well, not in the physical difficulties of being in a new work and a new place, but I know that I have grown spiritually. And so I can testify, as I said earlier, of the verse Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And in other scriptures it says that we're kept by the power of God. And I thank him for that upon my life. It's not a life lived of my own self, but with Christ's help. And I thank you all for being able to come and share this with you. And I hope it's a blessing. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Andrew for coming.